Welcome to the Church of Quell Creek podcast, a ministry of the Church of Quell Creek in Amarillo, Texas. Dive in with us as we open God's words and then stick around for a message from our pastor.
Good morning and welcome to the Church at Quell Creek on your TV. I'm Pastor Kyle and I'm so excited you chose to join us today. This Sunday, Rex Clayton is filling our pulpit. Pastor Clayton has pastored churches in Oklahoma and Texas his whole career and is now retired and is a part of our church family. He's also my dad. And so today, I hope you'll enjoy as he shares God's word with you. And at the end of the church service, stick around. I have a word just for you at the end.
Good morning. It's good to see you all here. Good to see our friends that we met in Tishomingo who live in Ada now. The Wakefields are here. Glad to see them. Glad to see my grandson and his wife sitting here with the great-grandbaby. That squeal you heard earlier was Emma. We're thankful for her. It's always good to talk and see with people you know and you love. And as they've gathered around too, I'm thankful for all of you that you're here today. Today we're going to read out of the book of James, chapter 1, and verse 26 through 27. If anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless and he deceives himself. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. James is a hard book for many to swallow simply because it has some things in it that seem to go against salvation by grace. I particularly don't think it says so, but that's something for us to go through today. But one such person is a person from our Reformation history, and that was a man by the name of Martin Luther. Martin Luther lived in the last part of the 1500s and into the 1600s, but he had trouble with James because when he first came into the ministry, I don't know if you know, but he was studying to be a lawyer. He had gone through schooling. He had gone through the debate things that they had to learn back then, how to stand on the law as foundation. And one night when he was going home, he had been at a pub where he was reading through his law books and having thrown back a few. He was going home on a horse. And as the horse went by a tree, lightning came down and struck that tree, knocked him off the horse. And there he said, God, you've got my attention. I've not lived as a good man, and I intend to do so from this day forward. So he surrendered his life to ministry, became a Benedictine monk. And so, an Augustinian monk. And as an Augustinian monk, he was trying to adjust himself to where he would sin no more. How many of you think that's a great idea to say, I'm going to try? You should try, by the way. The fact that you'll never get there is one of the great maturity things you get in your Christian life. But as he was one night he had a thought, the fact that if he could just beat himself enough to not think certain things, he would get over sinning. So he bared his back and took a whip, and he beat himself until he passed out. A fellow monk came in and found him. They nursed him back to health. But even at that, he had a lunchtime when he knew the fact that his sin was still on him. They used to pass out food and nobody was able to talk. You understand the monk life is one done in austerity. You don't talk. There are certain things you do. You don't go outside of those so you can start to discipline your life. And one time at lunch, they were passing out potatoes for people to eat, and the monk next to him got a much bigger potato than he did. What's worse is the monk next to him was smaller than he was. And he decided, well, this is not fair. And he envied the man his big potato. He coveted his neighbor's goods. So through that, he decided, listen, I'm in trouble. I can't seem to go one day without any occasion that I don't sin. So he decided to get himself away from everybody. He went up in a tower, and in that tower, they took sausages and stuff and put them over flame, and that smell wafted up the tower. It was something he liked very much. But there he found some scripture, Romans 1, 16 through 17. It states, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it God's revelation is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Well, when he read this, he thought, I'm not saved by how good I am. I'm not saved because I can stay away from the things that call to me in my flesh. I'm saved because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. And for that reason, he came to faith. He had that born-again experience. So then he came to read the book of James. James 2:14 says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can his faith save him?" Well, this presents two diverse views. For Martin Luther, who was saved by God's grace, to know the fact that if he's got to have works that shows he has faith, then that doesn't work for him, okay? So the one states you're saved by grace through faith. The second, if works don't show up in your life, then having Jesus come live for your life, then it's a dead faith. He certainly had trouble with those parts. A man that lived even earlier than Martin Luther in the early 1500s was a man by the name of Balthasar Hubmaier. You probably have never heard his name before. But when you study these older theologians that made great strides in theological understanding, he was a German. And as so, he had a PhD in theology, and he lectured all over that part of the world, both in England, Germany, Bohemia, lots of places where he lectured. And he came up with a saying that he was known for, and he said, "Faith is ausbrechen." Now, in German, it means it breaks out. He got that from reading the book of James. Because if you have faith in Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes to indwell your life, then something has to happen. Amen. That something that happens is Jesus comes to live through your life. Amen. And so what we have here is Luke 6:45, Jesus said, "A good man produces good out of the good storeroom of his heart. An evil man produces evil out of the evil storeroom, for his mouth speaks from the overflow of his heart." You see, what happens is when you go to the refrigerator and you take that Hunt's ketchup bottle and you squeeze it, you don't expect mustard. You expect ketchup, don't you? Another way to think of it is Karen and I buy the Duke's mayonnaise. And when I open the bottom of that, it's always upside down, you open the bottom and squeeze it out, I get that mayonnaise on my bread. I don't get anything else. So what I'm telling you is when you're squeezed, the only thing that can come out is what's in you. Amen. What happens when people or life squeezes you? And you say, well, I don't get squeezed. Driving traffic. Right? What's more is, go to Dallas and drive in traffic, right? I'm cut off more in Dallas than any place else in the world. They just swerve in and out and get right in front of you and then slow down. And then they wave at you. Okay? When you're squeezed, what's inside is what comes out, and that's the trouble. What's inside and who you really are, while you wish that we're good and Christ-like, seems to be a lot about what this world is. Whoever wants to get ahead, I've got to have more than everybody else. So this scripture tells you the fact that faith is exhibited by what you do. Not that you do those things to receive faith. God gives faith. He gives it, and you go, well, okay, I want to have faith. I know a lot of us that's sitting in this room, we've been here many times, and you've left and you thought, well, okay, I came to service. Fact is, I know that Kyle preaches a good sermon. I've heard it over and over. God's on fire in him, okay? But a lot of times it's us. We weren't ready for a message. We weren't ready to hear from God to change us. And that's a shame, because why did you come here if you didn't come for that? Amen. Did you come because your neighbors came, or it makes you feel good to come? Can I tell you, you need to have this ambition for your worship, that you hear from God. Yes. Amen. And that he changes you by what you hear. Amen. If you'll become the vessel, then God will pour into you those things that he wants out of you later. Amen. Okay? So how do I do that? How do I go through that? First, you've got to want to change. Did you know that we live in a faith, much like many others, that say, listen, you must choose that which you'll follow. Joshua said that to the children of Israel, choose this day whom you'll follow. Jesus said, whosoever would believe in me. So belief in itself is a choice you've got to make. You've got to make a choice right here today that I want more. I want more of Jesus. I want to go out of here and go, listen, God stirred my heart. I've been changed. Every preacher that gets up in the pulpit, really, let me tell you what their expectation. Their expectation is everybody gets saved. Everybody rededicates their life. Everybody has an encounter with God. You know the reality of that? Satan got the chair beside you before you sat down. Amen. What's said will be stolen from you. He whispers while you should be hearing from God's word. Nicodemus was told by Jesus, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. You must believe. You have to choose. You choose today. Listen, I'm going to listen no matter what it takes. And it's an effort. Believe me, it's an effort. It's an effort for me. Karen and I read the Bible together every morning. We have our Bibles open. Her little app on her phone reads to us. We follow along. So we'll pace ourselves, you know, that we'll start getting some understanding. You know how hard it is for me to sit there and read about King Hezekiah and Asa and no time, how many others? It's hard. Why do we do it? Because, folks, our expectations when we open God's word is to hear from God. Amen. And if you're not getting anything out of your Bible, choose to prepare your heart. How do you prepare your heart? Listen, I died to myself in order that Jesus might live in me. Start dying to yourself some. If something happens in the room, put it away. Ignore it. Start focusing in. If you're going to change what comes out of your mouth, you've got to die to the old self. You know, this world has so much more input than the church does in your life. I don't know how many hours you watch TV per day or watch your social media per day, But if you measure that to how much time you open yourself up to God and His Word, the second part of that's minuscule. You got to prepare your heart. Prepare to hear from God. Prepare to have your life changed, even by the little bit that you read that day. Once you're prepared, God will start sowing. And as He sows these things in your heart, you'll get to change. That's how you change. You prepare to change. You will yourself to say, hey, I'm going to get through this. I remember taking geology back in college. You talk about a yawner. Wow. We would study rocks and all the facets of rocks and all these other things. And I can tell you many a time I woke up to find my head in my hands so that my nose wouldn't be smushed on the desk. But thing about it is we've got to gear up. If you'll gear up and get ready, can I tell you the fact that the eyes of God range to and fro over all the land, looking for a committed heart that He can strengthen. Amen. Did you hear? Committed heart. If you're going to hear from God, you got to commit. Okay. Any of you remember Alice Cooper? The old people will. Okay. Alice Cooper was a rocker. Okay. He'd do demonic things on stage and bite the heads off of animals and all kind of stuff. Okay. When one day he heard about Jesus and he committed his life to Jesus. And he could no longer do his act. You know why? It changed him. Amen. James has as a theme that coming to Jesus changes you. Amen. And if He does not change you, you didn't get it. That's the proof. You ever want to know what the proof of Christian life is? You do some of the work of Jesus. Amen. The Holy Spirit comes in to indwell. He has the mission to tell you all things about Jesus. And as He works in your life and you learn to study about Him, you start doing some things and suddenly you start doing some of the works of Jesus in the world. And James says, that's a live faith. What is a dead faith as you go home and you sit on what you know? You know, just like it changed Alice Cooper, is to understand the fact it changes us as well. James 1, the second part of the teaching comes in the latter part of the scripture, and it says this: pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. A lot of people said that this is the whole Christian life. It's not. What it does, it tells you faith without works is dead. Then it says, let me give you part of this. You take care of these people because Jesus took care of these people. And who were these people? The world during that time is kind of like what we have in third world countries right now. If you're an orphan and if you're a widow, you have no rights. Well, Kyle and I went to India several years back, and women still have to get their sons to sign property for them. You see, there's a whole thing about taking care of orphans and widows, because these are people who have no hope. You and I, since we have Jesus living in us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, when we see people who have no hope, something happens in us. You know what happens? Jesus stirs. Who slept in their car last night? Who didn't eat yesterday? who has a need that there's no way they're going to meet. Do you understand who sent to them? Oh, let me send Jesus to them. Okay. Who is that? You are the body of Christ. You're his feet. You're his arms. You're his mouth. We are the body of Christ. We are Christians. Back in Antioch, I think they were given that name because that's a good way to make fun of people. But I'd rather be compared to Jesus in any form than anybody else. Christian is a little Christ. You know that? I see all you, I see this little Christ running around. Great. But right where you're at, right where you're living, you have been sent by God. And if you've been sent by God, you've been placed there to live out your faith, who is in Jesus, who lives in you.
Amen.
So, in the great commandment, is only really two parts. Set yourself apart by going and doing the work of Jesus, being a seminary, being a mission house, and if you're those things, you're doing what Jesus told you to. So what's your part in that? Can everybody be a teacher? No, but you can be a student as well. When you go home, you should be absorbing what God has given you in the Bible so that your neighbor by you can be affected. You change the world by being Jesus in the world and for them knowing. One of the greatest ways I saw, especially on the cruise, is when I saw people bowing their heads and praying over their meal. Now, what does that tell me? Doesn't tell me much, but it does tell me they're giving thanks to somebody. And I think, if I remember right, only the Christians do that. Wouldn't you like to be identified, right? A lot of times when Karen and I leave a table, before we order, we ask the waiter, said, listen, is there anything we can pray for you about? We've gotten some really weird responses. But most of them are the fact that the people just weep because Jesus has cared for them. You should be caring for them. Why? Jesus does. You can't help the whole world with money, can you? Unless God gave it to you. But you can help them by giving them some of the Jesus in you. For those who have no hope, we look around us and we meet that need as best we can. Let me give you an example of a couple I knew a lot of years ago. A couple living in a real small town. Everybody came to them for some reason. People had all kind of needs, all kind of things they're going through. Husband was locked up in jail. They couldn't meet their electric bill. Their car broke down. Everybody went to them. And the reason they went to them, because they always helped them. Now, you may think, well, they just gave money. They did not. Some they sat down with and went through their checkbook, showed them a budget or some way they could spend their money better. Some they could help with. But sometimes they went down to the jailhouse and posted a bond for a husband, a wife, or a child. Sometimes they lent their car so they could get some things done. As I looked at them through the years and them helping people, I began to see something in them that should come out from all of us. As they helped them because those people had no hope. Where do people go when they have no hope? They go to hope. Every time they met with somebody, they shared the gospel with them. Many of those people came to church. I knew that couple a long time. Their lives were lived in that way. And in them, I could see Jesus alive and well. So what's it mean to be stained by the world? I'm on the very last part here. The last lesson is one that few ever get. In John 17, 14 through 19, Jesus sent the disciples out to do his work, and he said, I've given them your word. The world hated them because they are not of the world, and I am not of the world. I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They're not of the world as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I've also sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them so that they may be also sanctified in the truth. The world does have an enormous pull on us. Flesh does call to flesh. And this world does provide some things. They don't ever seem to last, but they are things. Do you know what Jesus prayed for you? I pray not only for these, but those who believe in me through their message. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. Amen. Do you know what the Trinity of God is? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Did you know that Jesus prayed that you were in the unity that he is in? That's awesome. That's enormous. Me, a sinner, unable to get out, suddenly I have belief in Jesus. My sins are washed away, not to be remembered by God anymore. And I'm invited into the unity of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus came to give us what nothing in the world can provide. He gave himself. While the world's in the staining business, God's in the Jesus business. Can I tell you, the book of James tells us there is a gauge by which you can look at your own life. I don't think it says look at everybody else's life. That's an easy job to take on, isn't it? Nobody measures up to me. Well, you know why? No, nobody's that low, okay? But thing about it is that God meant for you to have a measure in your own life. How much do I look to Jesus? How much am I putting in my life the words of Christ? How am I doing as far as relationships with people? What am I giving the world? And if I've given them some Jesus, some of his ministry, some of his word, then suddenly I understand who I am. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a son of God Most High. Amen. I'm invited into the unity of God. I am exactly where my heart yearns to be. And what did it take? It takes out living Jesus where you are. Amen. Can I tell you the fact that if you see the need and you go to meet the need, you're going to see Jesus come out. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the fact that there's a measure. You don't have to go flailing around. I hope none of you leave today thinking, listen, I'm leaving the same way I came in. I want you to leave with this thought. Let Jesus have your hands. Some of you just need to let Jesus use your mouth. There's somebody you talk to, somebody you communicate with, somebody that's on social media that needs to understand that there's hope in Jesus Christ. Why is it social media covered with Jesus? All of you have access, right? So why don't we? Well, you can. That's the great thing. The book of James tells us that, and I want to invite you into such a work. The work is that Jesus lives in me. What I say and what I do, I want to point to him. And when I do, I know who I am. If there's one thing you want to get out of this life, know who you are. There's not a person that's come to Jesus Christ that has any other occupation than being sons and daughters of God Most High. You have been invited into faith in Jesus Christ. Now it's time to live it. And that's what James comes to do. Today I want to give you an invitation. Here's the invitation. If you want to start today, listen, I've been asleep so long in my faith. Change it. Choose to change. Remember, the eyes of God range to and fro over all the land looking for what? A committed heart. He's looking for your commitment. If you will, God will meet you. Amen. If you ask, seek, or knock, he'll always answer. And I'm thankful for that as well, aren't you? Amen. Let's go to the Lord and let's pray. Master, we thank you so much for today. Lord, we would have understanding of your word. And as we do, Lord, to understand, we know that you paid the price for our salvation. There's nothing that we can do except to accept it. Help us be the people who are committed. Lord, that once we accept it, is to live it. Help us to see the need, and as we see the need, that Jesus comes through us, that people would see Jesus alive and well among them. We ask for this in our Lord and Savior's Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, this is Pastor Kyle. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you see the love that Jesus has for you by paying the price for your sins. I pray that if you haven't already, you would take the time right now to talk to Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins and lead your life from here on out. We would love to talk to you about Jesus and getting to know him better. Contact us by emailing us at info@tcqc.org, tcqc.org, or by finding us on social media. We would love to meet you. I hope you had a wonderful day, and as always, we would love for you to join us for worship really soon.